It's from Luke chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after a marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your word, which is so powerful, so true, and cuts so deep into us. We pray that you will strengthen us by it, feed us by it. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the last hours of 2017, or 2017, as some people say. And we're on the eve, of course, of a new year, and you'll have many opportunities to read summaries and reviews of the last year and wonderings about the next. It's a time of transition. Some of us did not know, or I should say that we just don't know when someone's going to be with us for another year or not, do we? Suddenly, lives change. And same thing for someone who's waiting for new life to come. You hope that it does, and you pray that it does, and you wait. You don't know when they're going to come, but you know it will be soon. Neither group of people who have lost loved ones, nor those who are also those who are waiting for the future, both groups are unaware of when the timing is going to be, but they know it's coming. You know, it's going to come. And in the time that they're waiting, they trust God. I think about timing, you know, with our granddaughter here who was just born, thinking, oh, we sure was hoping it wasn't going to happen on Christmas. Nothing against Christmas Day, you know. But you all know the complications that goes in with that. But then we thought, well, boy, we sure hope it doesn't happen on my daughter's and her husband's anniversary, because you want her to have her own birthday, you know. And, oh, well,
But then you don't want to go too much longer, because if you do that, that'll go into the new year, and then there can be complications, you know, and wow, you don't get that tax deduction. So you wait and you pray. And then we often had said, I know, and many of you have too, you know, it's God's timing. When it happens, it happens. And I read just recently a Nash letter. They were a family that's missionaries and working for, I believe it's LB, Lutheran Bible Translators. Their story and challenges and goals they've gone through, and same with another group. There's just lots of challenges. But when it comes down to it, it's God's timing. And we trust Him, and we wait. Jesus was brought to Jerusalem on the eighth day. It was a thing that Jewish believers would do. They bring their child to be circumcised. And then we hear in the text about different things that they did. There's several things, which how they had been faithful throughout the whole verses that were read today. They were believers. They trusted God, and they waited on His timing, but they were fulfilling the law in this respect. They were focusing on Jesus. That's what happens when you get a newborn, right? A lot of focus goes in on that baby, taking care of that baby, protecting that baby. When the time of their purification, it says their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed. That's, again, you hear a reference to time. When the time of their purification had been completed, they were again doing what Moses had said they were to do. A lot about time. You know what? Here we have Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting. It says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Messiah, the Christ. He waited, and he waited. We don't know how long. It may have been a long time, it may have been a short time, but he waited. But he was a man of faith, and he waited. And then we hear the scene of, it says about chapter 2, verse 27, moved by the Spirit. This is an important part here where it says he's moved by the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit. He wants the Spirit to lead him. And he's moved by the Spirit to go there this day. He went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law, Simeon took him in his arms. They don't know this man. Takes their baby in his arms. He must have, I presume, encouraged them. May I please just hold him for a little bit here and explain something? Maybe, I don't know. Took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. He's talking about himself, how he can be dismissed now. Now he could go and die and go be with the Lord. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to Gentiles. Hear that? It's not just for Jews. It's for Gentiles, for the nations too. And for the glory, for glory to your people Israel. Now, Mary and Joseph were amazed at this. They marveled because they hadn't heard these things said about him. And they never met each other before. Then Simeon, he blessed them and said to Mary some very difficult things. First, he said, child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. People are going to be against Jesus. That affects the mom, because when people are against your child, that causes pain. And he is going to be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. That's unique. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. To his soul, her soul, it would be a difficult time. Yet, whenever you go into being a parent, you have those possible things that can happen. But Jesus was unique, very unique. Then we have the prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years, and then after the marriage, she was a widow until 84. So I don't know when she got old, when she got married, but whenever that was, she was, I don't think she was old then, but she was a widow for a long time, and she spent lots of time fasting and praying with God and being in his presence, being there in Jerusalem. She didn't leave the temple. I don't know how they did that, you know, but they worked that out. An amazing thing. She fasted and prayed. She wasn't told that we're told. We're not told that she was told that she'd get to see the Messiah. But here is a woman of faith who is worshiping God. And because she's worshiping God, she is connected to God, and God reveals this to her. Coming up to them at that very moment, it says, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. An amazing thing again, God at work. It all focuses on this child. This child who was just a baby, yet God showed two people in particular that this child was the Messiah, was the hope of Israel. And for the Gentiles. One man had to wait. The other person, the woman, didn't have to wait, but she had been worshiping all along, and this was revealed to her. A beautiful thing. Sometimes you wait, and sometimes things just happen. But the thing is, these were faithful people, all the people mentioned, and they brought Jesus and praised him. All things really are in God's hands, and we know that. But we pray that we can be led by the Spirit, and also that we can be worshiping him all throughout the year. Not just on Sundays, right? Not just on special days, but all throughout the year. Because if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, and if we are worshiping him, he is going to do his works, and we will get to participate in them. It's a great, amazing thing. Timing is everything, and we know that God's timing is perfect. In his affairs, in our affairs, they intertwine, and we thank him for that. This last year, I don't know how you'd summarize it, if you'd summarize it as being a difficult year. But I do pray that you can look back on the year and say, wow, God has really provided for us. No matter what has happened, he has been faithful. He has provided. Like with the kids, we could say, every morning his mercies were new, his kindness every morning. And so we step into this, on the threshold of this new year, praying that God would lead us by his Holy Spirit, and that we would be about worshiping him. You don't have to spend the whole day here, right? If God calls you to, that would be very unique. But we know that we now, are, of course, by Jesus' work, are the temple of his Holy Spirit. And he dwells in us. So we are with him, and we need to be reminded of that. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we hand over to you this past year. We thank you for your presence and for your love and your providing for us. And we thank you for giving us life this whole last year, God. Our days are truly in your hands. And events are in your hands. And now, God, they are in the past. And as we are about to enter into a new year, God, we ask that you would lead us each day by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would remind us of your presence and your love, no matter what we go through, no matter what comes our way. As we are led by your Spirit, and worshiping you, God, we trust in your timing. Use us, God, so we may give praise to Jesus and lift him up each day of our life. We thank you for your grace, so abundant. We have fallen short of your grace, God, and your love and your law, but we thank you, God, for the forgiveness in Jesus. We pray that you will help us to live each day for you, led by your Spirit and worshiping you. Because when it comes down to it, Lord, it's all about you. It's about worshiping you. Thank you that you make it possible. In Jesus' name, amen.